Begin the current Masechta's Beis, we begin with Daf Beis. Now, the Mishnah opens up with the halachas that are primary of this Masechta, that of Yomtiv, which the Mishnah opens up with Beis Shenoldu B'Yomtiv, regarding an egg that was born, that was laid on Yomtiv. So there's a machlokes. B'Shamay Omrim Toichel. B'Shamay say one could eat that egg that was born on Yomtiv. B'Shamay Omrim Loi Toichel. B'Shamay say one cannot eat it that day on Yomtiv. Now, the Gemara will explain the reason for them, why it would be Asur or Mutter to consume an egg that was laid on Yomtiv. Now, another machlekes, and now the reason why these three machlekes and that the Mishnah will mention between Bisham and Bishil is because what's unique about them is that Bishamai, who's usually machmer, who usually stringent, is lenient, and Bishil is machmer, and these are three halachas regarding the halachas of Yomtiv, and therefore we mention them that one next to each other. The Gemara will explain the reason for these machlekes. Bishamai and Bishamai say Sa'ur b'kezayis, Sa'ur, which is a very strong leavening ingredient, that shear to be over on Pesach is the shear of an olive. V'chametz b'kesevus, however, chametz, which is something that has the leaven, but it's not such a strong agent like Sa'ur, that one only violates it if it's the size of a date. B'shilaymrim, no, again, they're machmer. Again, that's why we have these three machlekes in regarding halachas relating to Yomtiv between Bisham and Bishil, that they hold Zev HaZev HaKizayis, that no, even Chametz, one can violate that Isra on Pesach, even if it's only the size of an olive. The third machlek is, HaSheichet Chayev O'if B'Yamtiv, again related to Yamtiv. If someone slaughters a wild animal or a bird on Yamtiv, where there is a Chiv of Kisu Dam, of covering their blood on Yamtiv, or any time that there's a Chiv to do Kisu, but now this was slaughtered on Yamtiv. So Bisham Ibrim Yachper B'Deker B'Chasa. You should dig with a spade in the ground, and then to be able to get the earth, so you can cover the blood on Yomtiv. U'Bisil Imrim Lo Yishchid. B'Sil say, no, you're not allowed to slaughter. Elim Kein Ha'ilo Offer Muchin M'Ba'idyayim. Only if you had earth that was already prepared from before Yomtiv, then you'd be able to go ahead and slaughter so you could have earth to cover it. But if you didn't, you're not allowed to go ahead and dig now on Yomtiv to use that earth to cover the blood of the animal. Again, the third case, B'Sil being Machmer on Yomtiv, and B'Sham being Mekel. However, the Mishnah does tell us that Umaydim, the Bisil, do agree, Shim Shachat, if the person did already slaughter, Shiachper Bedekar Vichasa, that then you should dig with the spade, even according to Bisil, to be able to cover the blood. And that is, as the Gemara will explain, the reason is that we're talking about actually that the Dekar, the spade, is already stuck into the ground from before Yomtiv. That's where Bisil would agree that then you can go ahead and dig it to cover the blood. As the Mishnah concludes, she'efer kir muchanu, because the earth, the ashes of the oven, is considered prepared. Which the Gemara is going to ask, what is it talking about? How does that idea that the ashes of an oven are considered prepared, that they're not mukta, as if related to the machlekes that Beis Hillel is agreeing that when you have the spade stuck into the ground, that if you slaughtered already, that you could go ahead and use that to cover. How did those two halachas relate one to each other? The Gemara will explain that later on. Now the Gemara asks regarding the opening halacha of this Mishnah, of the Masechta, which is called Masechtas Beya, based on this case of the egg that was laid on Yomtiv. So that the Gemara asks, B'mayiskin, exactly what is this case talking about? What type of hen are we talking about that its egg will be a machlekes if it's forbidden or permitted to consume on Yomtiv? If it's a hen that was designated for consumption purposes, which means to say that someone wants to slaughter that hen to eat it, which thereby makes that hen not muktzah, because it has a yomtiv purpose. It has utility. Something that's muktzah is when it's not going to be used over the Shabbos or this yomtiv, then it's muktzah. But if we're talking about a type of hen that we're going to eat it, so then yomtiv, you could slaughter an animal to eat it. So then, my time are the Beis Hillel. Then what's the reason of Beis Hillel that they say the egg is going to be forbidden? Uchla de ifrasu. Essentially what it is, it's like a piece of bread that then you cut off a slice of that. It's just food coming out of food. So what would make it forbidden? This thing is designated, this hen, for eating purposes, which means say it's like a piece of food which is permitted. It's not considered set aside that you're not going to use on Yomtiv. And therefore, why is the egg that comes out of it any different than the hen that it's coming from, which is like separating food from it, that it should be permitted? So therefore, Ella, rather, what we have to say is, must be talking about a hen that was not set aside for eating. No one, they don't touch this. This is where we get our eggs from. We don't want to eat this hen. And it's designated to be able to use it as a factory to get eggs from. Now, if that's the case, then my tamay de Bishamay. Now, how do we understand Bishamay's opinion that they say that the egg is permitted, but muktzahi, that hen is set aside. No one's going to touch this. No one's using it for food purposes. So therefore, anything that comes from it is also from a muktzah item. So why is the egg permitted? The egg should be forbidden if the chicken is a muktzah type of a hen, which is something that's designated to just get eggs from it and not to eat the hen. Now, on that question, the Gemara asks, Umay Kushya, what exactly are we asking? Dema Beis Shammai less lehu muktzah. Maybe Beis Shammai holds like Reb Shimon, who doesn't hold on the broader spectrum of what muktzah is, as the Gemara quotes Masechta the Shabbos regarding a case of when you have the leftover oil that was in the candle or in the plate. On that, the first opinion holds it's asr. Reb Shimon says that it's mutter because he doesn't hold on this broad-based muktzah. And therefore, it's a very narrow interpretation of muktzah. So what are we asking? On Beis Shammai, that the egg is muktzah, that the egg is muktzah because it's coming from a hen that's muktzah. That would be just like Reb Shimon's case, where yes, the fire is muktzah, but the leftover oil is permitted. Here also, maybe Beis Shammai holds like Reb Shimon that fine, that the hen would be muktzah, but the egg would come out of it. That's not muktzah, just like maybe Reb Shimon would hold. So what's the question? So that the Gemara says, no, we couldn't say that. In other words, the reason why we asked our question that what would Beis Shammai's opinion be if it's talking about a hen that's designated to have legadol beitzim and not to eat it, because Kasulka Daitan, we had assumed in our question that a filaman, even according to the opinion, let's say, of Reb Shimon, the Shari b'mukta that says that mukta from the broader interpretation, they're all permitted, but b'noilid asa, we assume that, however, noilid, something that was born, would be asr. In other words, regarding muktzah, let's say Reb Shimon, and we could even say the same for Beis Shammai, they would hold that a person sets aside something that he has nothing to use it for, but something that it's not totally, that he might actually have some utility for it. He doesn't set it aside. That therefore, all these things like the leftover oil of a candle, those will be permitted, and other things that are more lenient according to Reb Shimon's interpretation. But things like Noila, the things that are born on Yom Tov or Shabbos, where you didn't know about it yet to think that you're going to maybe want to use it, there we assume that Reb Shimon would agree that it's going to be Asur. And therefore our question was, my time at the Beis Shammai. So what's the reason Beis Shammai that they hold it's permitted to eat the egg? How could it be permitted? Even if you say Muktzah, again from the broader interpretation, is Mutter, but that's only because maybe I'm going to use it, and therefore it's not Muktzah until it's really, really full-fledged Muktzah. Which maybe it's not the case, let's say, when you have leftover oil because you might use the oil. But here by the egg, we don't even know that it's going to be born to think, hey, maybe I might want to use it. And therefore, even according to Reb Shimon, we assume, which even if we want to take the leading approach from Beis Shammai, it should still be asur because it's noilid, it was born. For sure that should be muktzah. On that of Rav Nachman says, lo'olam b'tarn l'goylus ha'amedes l'gadol beitzim. As we said in the second version, that must be, because or else we wouldn't understand Beis Hillel, they were talking about a hen that was designated just to have the eggs that come from it. Now, however, not like we assumed, with the Islay Mukta Islay Noil. According to Behuda, for example, that holds of the broader base of Mukta would hold that Noil similarly is forbidden. With the Leslay Mukta, but those like Reb Shimon that do not hold of the broader base of interpretation of Mukta, Leslay Noil are not bothered. They're not concerned with the fact that it was born today, and that wouldn't make it prohibited on Shabbos or Yom Tov when it's born. And therefore, Beis Shammai, Reb Shimon. Beis Shammai would be like Reb Shimon that it's permitted, because he holds like Reb Shimon that not concerned with Muktzah, and therefore not concerned with Nailit. Well, Beis Hillel, Reb Yehuda, however, Beis Hillel would hold like Reb Yehuda, and just like Reb Yehuda is concerned with Muktzah, he's concerned with Nailit, so Beis Hillel would hold that this was born, and therefore it would be Asr on Yom Tov. Now, that the Gemara asks on this answer, this interpretation of Rav Nachman, and what is the case conceptualization of our Mishnah. The Gemara is not asking a question on what Rav Nachman said per se, but they're asking on, could Rav Nachman himself have answered in the way he answered that Beis Hillel is like Reb Yehuda and it's Beis Shammai like Reb Shimon, which sounds like that Beis Hillel holds Reb Yehuda that there is the halacha of Muktzah, and therefore hence the same thing would apply to Nailid. But right now we learn in the Mishnah Masechta the Shabbos that Rav Nachman seems to say a different interpretation in the opinion of Beis Hillel, not like Reb Yehuda, but rather like Reb Shimon. Because the Mishnah there says, Beis Shammai and Beis Shammai say, Magbiyin, a person can lift up on Shabbos, me'al ha'shulchan, from his table, let's say for example after they finish the Shabbos meal, at somois, bones that are not fit to eat anymore, I mean there's no more edible food on it, uklipin, and the shells of nuts, and we're not concerned for muktzah, although there's no utility for it, what's shells and what's bones. However, Beis Shammai is not concerned. Beis Hillel, however, Beis Hillel say that you're not allowed to move the bones or the shells themselves because they're muktzah, they have no utility. Rather, misalk es atav l'kula, what you do is you pick up the entire table, which has a halachic definition of a kli, which you're allowed to move. Uminar, and you shake that, so you shake the table, and then those things will fall off because you want to clear off the table. But the objects themselves, you can't because they're muktzah. Now, however, although that was the version of how it was quoted in the Mishnah, Vam Rav Nachman said that anu ein lanu. We don't have in our version of that Mishnah because we hold that it's the opposite. Ella, rather, the way I heard from my teachers, Rav Nachman said, is Bishamek Rabbi Yehuda. Bisham is the one that's machmer, that holds like a behuda, that you cannot move the bones in the shells themselves, rather you have to shake the table. Ubeshil Krebishimin. And Bishil is like Krebishimin that holds the lenient version of mukta, that you could pick up the bones and you could pick up the shells from the table. You don't have to shake up the table. Now, that's Rav Nachman who said that. That he switches the version of the Mishnah because Bishil is like Krebishimin. So how could Rav Nachman himself said over here in our Mishnah, in the beginning of Masechtas Beya, that Beis Hill is like Rabbi Yehuda, and that's why Mukta is also, so Neil is also, and Beis Shammai is like Reb Shimon, and different since Mukta is Mutter, Neil is Mutter. But didn't he just say Masech the Shabbos, that Beis Hill is like Reb Shimon, and now here he's saying that Beis Hill is like Rabbi Yehuda? So that I'm like Rav Nachman. I'm going to tell you, it's not a contradiction. Both my statements are true. Gabi Shabbos, regarding the Halachas of Shabbos, which is what it's talking about there, Masech the Shabbos, they saw some law in the Tanakh of Reb Shimon, where there was an anonymous Mishnah said, without any attributions who it is, and it was like Reb Shimon's opinion. They're not like we learned the Mishnah over there in Daf Kuf Nun Vav Mabeis that says, Mechatkin es adluin. You're allowed to cut a detached gourd, you're allowed to cut it up, lefnei behemoth, to put in front of an animal, and we don't say that's considered an unnecessary tircha exertion that you're not supposed to do on Shabbos. You're allowed to do that. And you're allowed to put it lefnei behemoth. Ves hanavel lefnei klovim. And you're allowed to take a dead animal carcass and put it in front of the dogs for them to eat it. And that's in spite of the fact that it became in the veil, it only died on Shabbos, where Bein HaShemashes by twilight, it wasn't fit yet, which always the period of Bein HaShemashes is what establishes its status in Halachas HaMukta for the whole Shabbos, then it wasn't yet fit. It was considered, so to speak, Mukta. It wasn't fit for the eating of the dogs. Still, it's going to be permitted, as we see that Tana, that anonymous Tana in the Mishnah in Masechta Shabbos says, because they're not concerned for the broader base definition of mukta. Now, therefore, since Rav Nachman says you see that there was anonymous Mishnah, which always we go like the halacha, like a stam Mishnah, says like Rav Shimon, so therefore regarding this halacha of picking up mukta items from the table, which is also on Shabbos, for that halacha, we say that mukim lo lebeis hil krib shimon, then we're going to identify beis hil as holding like Rav Shimon. And the reason for that is because we don't want to have a contradiction between the hilchases. There are certain prefab halachas that we say that we always paskin like a certain opinion, because we know there's a rule of kaimel and halachic stam mishnah. You're always going to paskin like an anonymous mishnah. But yet there's a contradictory klal that the halachas like Beis Hill. And therefore, if Nachman said, look, since there's a stam mishnah that says like Reb Shimon, so then we're going to say that Beis Hill is like Reb Shimon. Avol, however, continue on Tam and Beis, Gabi Yomtiv, regarding the halachas of Yomtiv, which is what we're talking about over here in Masechtas Beya, this sasam lon tana krib Yehuda, where we have an anonymous Mishnah like Rabbi Yehuda. It's not like there's a Mishnah later on that says, Eimavakin Eitzim. We're not allowed to cut up wood on Yom Tov, neither min hakaris, not from beams which are organized one on the other, they're all stacked up on the ground which are prepared for using for building. V'loi min hakaris nishbur b'Yom Tov, and not even a beam that broke on Yom Tov, where although now that it's not anymore used for building, and therefore you would say it's not Mokza because it's going to be used for firewood, still since by Bein HaShemashes, by twilight, it wasn't intended for that, only broke on Yom Tov itself. So since we say Iskatsoy le Bein HaShemashes, since by twilight it was Mokza because it was going to be used for building and not for firewood, so then we say Iskatsoy le Kuliyema, the halachic status of Mokza is defined by Bein HaShemashes, Mokza throughout the entire Yom Tov. Now, however, what we see is that regarding the Stam Mishnah, they say that there is halacha of mukta, the broader-based definition on Yom Tov. And therefore, mukim la, that's why Rav Nachman interprets our Mishnah, which is also told by Yom Tov, lebeisil k'Rabbi Yehuda, that beisil going like Rabbi Yehuda, where therefore he defined it as where the hen is there to have eggs, which therefore it's not used for eating purposes, so it is mukta. And then we say, since it's mukta, so therefore there would be an application also of the Tana who holds like mukta, which holds of neila, that's asur also. So therefore, that's why he said, although there he said Beisil is like Reb Shimon, because that was what the Stam Mishnah said over there. And here where he said Beisil is like Reb Yehuda, because the Stam Mishnah regarding the Halachas of Yom Tov said like that too. So the Gemara wants to understand this. Mechti, let's see. Man stam lemasnitin. Who created the anonymous Mishnayos? In other words, we haven't it would seem contradictory Mishnayos. There, the Stam Mishnah says like Reb Shimon, so we wanted not to contradict with that the halachas always like Beis Hill, so halachas like Reb Shimon there. And here we have a Stam Mishnah like Reb Yehuda, so we say halachas like Reb Yehuda, and Hill holds like that too. So that's why Rav Nachman said that, and it's not contradictory. But who made the Stam Mishnayos? That was Reb Yehuda Anasi, who he organized the Mishnayos. And additionally, when he saw the opinion of a single Chacham, who he found that Pshat to be the proper halacha, So he said their opinion, stam, anonymously. He didn't say who it was that said it, so that people shouldn't realize that it's what's called a das yach, or just an individual tana. And to think that, oh, but there are others, chachamim, there are roiv, that don't say like that, and therefore they're going to leave that halacha and do like the roiv. He didn't want them because he felt the halacha was like this yachid. So he didn't say who it was, he just said a stam mishnah, so that should be the halacha. Now, that's the question, so fine. So that's where the source of this stam mishnah like this, a stam mishnah like that, which we're, Rav Nachman is saying, so the Beis Hillel could be the same thing too. But maishnos, but what's the difference? Why did Rabbi Yehuda Nasi do that? Why b'Shabbos does Sosam on Krib Shimon? Why is it by the halach of Shabbos? Did he say anonymous mishnah that, like Rib Shimon, that there's no halach of muktzah? And why is it that here in our Masecht, in Halachos of Yom Tov, did he say Stam Mishnah like Rabbi Yehuda that there is Muktzah? Why? What's the difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov regarding Halachos of Muktzah? So Amar they said that Shabbos the Chamira v'loy asa lezalzulei bei. Shabbos is a very stringent halacha. Therefore, people are not going to come to be disgraceful and lax, and that is that we make a certain leniency, which is the case what we are doing regarding Pasen like Reb Shimon for Halachos of Muktzah, saying it's not so broad-based, so we're not going to come to make it even more lenient. So therefore, Sosam on Reb Shimon, the Mekel Sadir, Reb Yehuda Nasi, was Sosam like Reb Shimon, to say that it's not so chamer the Halachos of Muktzah b'Shabbos. But Yom Tov, the kill, but however, the laws of Yom Tov that are more lenient, we can do certain malachas for Eichel Nefesh, Vasil is Azulabe, and therefore we're going to come to be lax and be disgraceful if we're going to take it further. So therefore the halachas of Yom Tov is more machmer than the halachas of Shabbos, so that to the contrary we shouldn't be more lax, and therefore that's why Rabbi Yehuda Anasi did that. That he was soisim like Rabbi Yehuda for here in Masechta Zbeah on Yom Tov, and thereby Shabbos he was more lenient. And that's the same thing what Rav Nachman, so it's not a contradiction to Rav Nachman. Beis Hillel was actually like Rav Nachman said, over here he's like Rabbi Yehuda, because that is the halacha that Rabbi Yehuda Nasi wanted. And so too, that Rav Nachman found Beis Hillel is like the halacha of Rav Shimon there, because we actually are more lenient by the halacha of Muktzah on Shabbos. But now the Gemara asks the following question on Rav Nachman. B'mai Kimta, how did Rav Nachman establish the case that Beis Hillel and Mishami are arguing about in our Mishnah by the Be'ah Shenolda on Yom Tov? Like we said, that it's a hen that's not designated for eating purposes. It's just to grow, to have eggs coming out of it. And that the machlekes, Beis Hillel B'Shami, was based on muktzah. Beis Hillel holds that there is muktzah, and B'Shami says there's not muktzah. Now, that the Gemara asks, if that's the case, if that's really the crux of their machlekes, once they're arguing about a derivative from the hen, which is its eggs, lifically b'tan the girls, doesn't just argue about the hen itself. And Beis Hillel would hold that it's aser because muktzah, it's not made for eating, it's made for its eggs. And Beis Shammai would hold like Reb Shimon that holds that it's mutter because it's not muktzah, because you technically could eat it and it's not totally out of the question that you'll ever eat it. So why go ahead and argue about the egg if you could eat it? Just argue about the hen itself. So that the Gemara says, that's not a question. Because we wanted to say how lenient was the opinion of Beis Shammai to b'noi l'tshari, that not only is muktzah permitted, which would be the hen, but even what would seem to be more stringent, as the Gemara assumed that even the one that says muktzah is mutter, noilid would be aser, that even noilid, no, even though it's born, and you can't even say, maybe it would seem, that you thought about it, still, noilid would be mutter. That's why we wanted to say it in arguing regarding the egg. Now, however, the Gemara asked, but you could say the same thing in the other way. The lifeliki b'tan the gailis, but they should have still argued regarding the hen itself, l'adiach ha'kech in the Beis Hillel, where you could have shown the strength of the opinion of Beis Hillel, who they're machmer, and that is that even the memukta asri, that even not only by noilid of the egg would they say it's asr, but we could have said an added level of stringency, that even the hen itself, which is not noilid, is still asr because of muktzah. So why pick Beis Shammai that show his leniency versus Beis Shammai's chumrah? So on that, the Gemara says, now, if you're going to answer me, v'chitem, if you're going to say that koich de tera adov, we always know that it's more impressive in halacha to say the lenient opinion that permits it than the more stringent. That is because if we find that someone is being mat or something, which means to say that he's not afraid to say it's permitted, so that's more impressive, because to say something's aser is not such a proof, because anyone could be machmer, because nothing wrong. When you're being conservative, there's nothing wrong that's going to happen. No, don't do this, don't do this. So you're not going to violate anything. So even something that's mutter, you could say that it's aser to be machmer. However, to be lenient is already impressive. That shows that this is a real chiddush in halacha. So you would say that, oh, that's why we say Beis Shammai, which his permission is greater than what Beis Hillel is doing by saying things are prohibited. But Anetik Mar says that still doesn't answer our question. But v'niflig b'tarvayu, they should have argued on both cases. And it wouldn't have been so difficult to say that. Because you could have said as follows. Tanegoilis hoimedis legadl beitzim, regarding a hen that is designated for its eggs and not for consumption. He ubeit sasa, regarding it and its egg, we could have just said that they argue on both of them. Beishami say you could eat both of them. He's not concerned with mukta or nailed. They say that no, not only can you not eat the egg, which is nailed, you can't even eat the hen itself because of mukta. So why did we not say both cases? If they're essentially arguing about the halach of mukta, we could have spoken about both proponents in either direction of both their extremes in one very simple variation of saying that it's talking about the egg and the hen itself. So therefore, El Amar Rabbah. Rather, Rabbah says a different interpretation than we had up until now in the Gemara, that of Rav Nachman. He says a second way of defining the case of the Mishnah. Says, La'olam b'tanegoilus hametz l'chila. Truth is, it's not like the way Rav Nachman said that it was talking about a hen that was designated just for eggs and not for eating. Actually, it is a hen that was designated that's used for eating. Now then the question would be, then what would be the problem? As the Gemara had asked originally on Beis Hillel, why would the egg be a problem? It's just like taking off a piece of an existing food because it's meant for eating. So what would be wrong with the egg? So that Rabbi explains the reason why Beis Hillel would say it's aser, ube yamtiv shechalias achar Shabbos eskim. We're talking about a specific case. We're talking about where yamtiv is on Sunday, that comes after Shabbos. Umishum achana. And there's a new halacha that we didn't speak about up until now, which is the halacha of preparation. Where Basil says it's Asr, as the Gemara will explain, which an halacha that's called Hachana de Rabba, where Uksava Rabba holds. And another component is that he says that Kol Beya de Misyalda Inna, any egg that's being born today, now, Mi'et Mol Garmala, must be that it was already completed on yesterday. Now, although that was done by itself, that process, what's called Pidei Shemayim, it's still going to be forbidden. And the reason is because all the sudas, all the meals of Shabbos and of Yom Tov, have to be prepared and designated from the day before on a weekday. Now, the Rabbah that says that this is forbidden when it was prepared on Shabbos, which is the day before they told about then of Yom Tov, when that's when it was prepared because it was completed, an egg that's born today was completed yesterday, even if it wasn't done with one's hands, it was done by the Shemayim, he goes l'tameh. He's going to his opinion that was mentioned elsewhere. Tamar Rabbah, like Rabbah says in Masechet Pesachim, the Memzayin Mabez, where from there we learn out the halacha of Muktza from its biblical source, Ma'idach Siv, Rabbah says, what is this that says a pasuk in Shemayis? That it will be on the sixth day. This is in the parasha of the month where Hashem is telling them that on Shabbos is not going to be any food. That was going to be on the sixth day on Friday. Then they should prepare what they're going to bring. And that is prepare on Friday for Shabbos. Now, what would that mean in halacha? So Rashi explains that would mean, for example, a person saying, Mikan ani oichel amachar. From here, he specifically designates from this is what I'm going to eat tomorrow on Shabbos. Because Rashi says, if we'd be talking about the physical preparations with one's hands, and to say that whatever has to be baked or cooked that you want to eat on Shabbos should be baked and cooked from before Shabbos on Friday, but that there's another pasuk that explicitly says that Isa Asher Toifu Eifu. It says explicitly regarding the baking. Rather, when it's told about that they should be prepared, Veichinu, they should prepare, must be verbally they should prepare. And that's what it says on Yom HaShishi. Now, generally, a Friday is a weekday, and still the Torah requires you to prepare it on that Friday, a weekday, for the next day for Shabbos, which Rabbi explains that to mean Chol Mechin LeShabbos. A weekday has to prepare for a Shabbos, and similarly, V'chol Mechin LeYamtiv, so too, a weekday has to prepare for Yamtiv. And the reason is because, although the Pasuk is talking about there on Shabbos, but in Halacha, Yamtiv is also called Shabbos, and therefore its meal also needs to be prepared from beforehand on a weekday. However, as Rashi explains that a weekday meal wouldn't have the same halacha, it doesn't apply this halacha of having it prepared, because a regular Sunday, you're not going to say that it's asr because it was prepared b'day shemayim on Shabbos, because a weekday meal doesn't need to be prepared beforehand, it doesn't have any application of this halacha of mukta whatsoever, so they were talking about that there's a problem that it was prepared on Shabbos, that would only be for yamtiv, which has to be prepared from a weekday, which also has to have preparation, but only from a weekday to Shabbos and a weekday to yamtiv. Ve'ein yamtiv mechin l'Shabbos, however, one cannot prepare from yamtiv for Shabbos. Ve'ein Shabbos mechin l'yamtiv, and this is the main idea that we're saying why Beis Hillel says it's Aser, and therefore a Shabbos cannot prepare to Yamtiv. It's only a Yom HaShishi, a Friday, or regular weekday prepares for Shabbos, which additionally has to prepare whichever day it is, Erev Yamtiv, a weekday, for Yamtiv, but you can't prepare from Shabbos for Yamtiv. And therefore here, where the egg was born on Yamtiv, Rabbah says it must have been that it was already completed, which means it was prepared the day before, which Rabbah says the case of the Mishnah is talking about when Shabbos was Erev Yom Tov, and that means it was being prepared from Shabbos for Yom Tov, even though it's B'day Shemayim. However, it wasn't prepared by the person from beforehand on the weekday, and therefore it's going to be Aser according to Bishol. Now, Amalei Abaye says, if that's the case, if that's what you're creating this halacha of hachana, that it has to be verbally prepared on the weekday to the Shabbos or Yom Tov, and here it was prepared on Shabbos because that's when it was completed, El Miata, but if that's the case, so then Yom Tov, Bialma, let's say a regular Yom Tov, which doesn't, it's not on Sunday, it's not coming after Shabbos, then Tishri, then the Be'er Shanodah, if an egg is laid on Yom Tov, it should be permitted because you're explaining the case, it seems like only on Sunday. So that Rabbah answers, no, Gezer Mishum Yom Tov Achar Shabbos. You're right, really the halacha of this Isra of Hachana is only when it's on a Sunday, but we make a decree that if we're going to let you have eggs that are laid on Yom Tov, you might end up using it on Yom Tov that's on Sunday, and that is going to be Aser because of Hachana, that it wasn't prepared from a weekday, it's prepared from a Shabbos, and therefore we say all Yom Tov is forbidden. But then Abaye continues to ask, but Shabbos Yama, let's say a regular Shabbos, which is not coming after a Yom Tov, that you didn't have a Yom Tov preparing for the Shabbos, Tishri, if an egg is laid on Shabbos, it should be permitted to swallow a raw egg that was born there on Shabbos. So then Rabbi answers similarly that no, Gizeh Mishum Shabbos, Acha Yom Tov, the reason why we never laid on Shabbos is because we're concerned if the Yom Tov is going to be on Friday and then it's going to be born on Shabbos, then it means that Yom Tov prepared for Shabbos, and again, that's also forbidden because of this halacha of Hachana de Rabbah. So that was Rabbi's interpretation. On that, the Gemara asks, "Umi gazrinan? Do we make these gezeres that Rab is talking about that really should only be when Yom Tov is on Sunday, or when Shabbos comes after a Friday Yom Tov? Because all the other times, what's wrong that it was born? There's no problem of muktzah. We're talking about that actually the hen was meant for eating, and therefore there's no halach of muktzah. It's just like taking food from food. The whole problem is this problem of hachana, but that's only on Sunday or Shabbos coming after Yom Tov." However, that rabbi says that all the days, every other Yom Tov, we make a gzeira because of Sunday. So the Gemara asks, do we really do that? Are we so stringent by an egg that's laid to make a gzeira for something that's permitted because of the case that'll be aser? But Vatanya Linda Bryce, that seems to show that no, we're not concerned. If it's the case, then it'll be a problem. But now we make gzeiras for one for the other because the Bryce says, Hashechres Hartana Goylis, someone that slaughters the hen, Umatza Ba Beitzim Gemurs, and inside the hen, he finds, when they open it up, they find complete eggs. On that, the Braisa says, Mutaris la'achlam b'yom tov. You're allowed to eat on Yom Tov. There's no problem. Now, on that, the Gemara adds, V'im Isa, if we hold a Rabbah, that we make these gezeiras, that in the case where it would be Aser, so therefore, even when it's Mutter, we're concerned for that case. So, Ligzim Mishum Hanach, the Misyal, the B'yamehan. Why do we allow you to eat those eggs that you find inside the hen that you slaughtered on Yom Tov, and you're coming to eat the hen, you find the eggs inside of there, but we should make a gzeira, say, whoa, if these would have been laid, we would have came a few minutes later, it would have came out, then it would have been forbidden because of this halacha that Rab is describing that Beis Hillel holds it forbidden. So then therefore, even when it's inside the stomach, when we find it inside the hen itself, it should be forbidden. Now, Rashi says, now, although that would seem to be a gzeira l'gzeira, which Rashi explains that that generally there's a rule that's mentioned throughout Shas that we're not gezer gzeir l'gzeira, which is learned from a pasuk of Mishmartim es Mishmarti, that Hashem says you should make a mishmeres, in other words, you should make gzeiris for Mishmarti, for my Torah, but not a mishmeres l'mishmeres. You shouldn't make a gzeira for a gzeira. Now this case would seem to be a gzeir l'gzeira, and what's the Gemara's question on Rabbi? Because even those that are actually laid, we're saying that we should say that once inside the hen should be usher because of the case where it's forbidden when it's actually laid, but even the ones that are laid are only exeter because of a case when it's Sunday. In other words, if Yom Tov is Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, that we say that it's aser is only because of exeter of when it'll be on Sunday. So why are we saying that when it's in the stomach it should be aser? That's what's called exeter. And that Rashi answers that no, because we could say that this Bryce is talking about when Yom Tov was on Sunday, where here there is only one exeter because when it's going to be born, it's going to have the problem of Hachana the Rabbah. So therefore, that's the Gemara's question, saying if the Bryce is told about all cases, even when it's on Sunday, why are the eggs inside the hen permitted? It should be a gezerah of when it comes out, which that's forbidden. And that's especially a question on Rabbah, who makes these gezerahs from eggs to when it's really permitted to when it's forbidden. So Amalei, so Rabbah responded, it's not a question. Beim gemuris b'mei iman, finding complete, full, totally finished eggs inside the stomach of the mother, Milsa de leshchichi, it's not common to find that. This is a klal throughout halacha, that something that's not common, there was never an inclusion when the chacham made a gezera, it wasn't including cases that are uncommon, and therefore this gezera of that we did do by eggs, which Rab is saying that you're right, we made every yomtiv where egg is noilid forbidden because of the case when it's actually asra because of a chana on Sunday. Now, although that therefore the same question should apply when the eggs are in the stomach, you're right, but it's something that's not shchich, it's not common, and therefore that's why we didn't make a gzera, because milsad lo shchicha legazu barabanu. That's the second interpretation on Mishnah. Rabbi Yosef says a third interpretation of the machlekes in our Mishnah, where he says that the reason of the egg, we're talking about, like Rabbi said, that a tarnagoyla is a hen that's designated for eating purposes. Now, the reason why Basil say it's aser, as we said, why should it be aser? It should be like taking off a food from a food, is gezeir mishum peris hanation. It's a decree, it's a concern of the case of when fruits fall off from the tree. Where, now the Gemara assumes right now that the case of the egg that's born is concerned for the case of when fruits will fall off. That just like there it's forbidden, so we're concerned that if we let you have the eggs coming out of the hen, which is no problem, because it's actually no mukta, it's oimid la'achila, but since it's very similar to the case of when fruits fall off, and the case of fruits falling off is forbidden, so if we allowed you to have the eggs coming out, we might have you let the fruits coming off, and that's why we made this forbidden too. Now that I'm like, Abaye asked Rav Yosef, wait a second. Peir Sanation time am I. Why is fruits that fall off a tree forbidden to eat? Now that we continue on top of Gilmud Alf. Gzerish Shemayalav Yidlosh, because we're concerned that, look, if it falls off on Shabbos and we let you go ahead and eat it, then you might say, hey, that tasted pretty good. Then you might actually go up to the tree and rip it off, which that's Issur Deraisa of Kaitzer, an Av Malacha. And therefore, we say that you can't enjoy either the fruits that fell off, because he goof a gzera. It's a gzera. It's a decree that if Rabbanan said, if you're going to let you enjoy the fruit that fell off, you might come to rip one off. But if it itself is a gzera, va'anan nekim v'nigza gzera gzera, as we just said before, and what we're going to do, we're going to make a decree for a decree, we don't do that. We make one gzera for deraisa. We don't make an issur d'rabbanan gzera on the gzera itself, because enjoying the fruits that fell off the tree is itself a gzera. Now, to say that we don't let you have eggs that come out from the hen because of then you might come to have the fruits that fall off the tree, then because then you might come to rip off the tree, that's a gzera gzera. We don't do that. So the Gemara answers, kulo chad gzera. It's all one gezerah. In other words, it's not that we made a concern, we made a gezerah for the case of when the eggs come out of the hen, that so that you shouldn't come to have the fruits that fall off, so that you shouldn't come to rip up the tree, the fruits from the tree itself. Rather, when they initially came to make this gezerah of peiros hanoshin, the fruits that fell off, inclusive of that original gezerah was a case of an egg that was coming out of a hen. In other words, although it's not practical, the concern itself, the whole gezerah was of the issur of talisha, of ripping something off from where it's attached, which is a melach of kaitzer. Now, that doesn't apply at all to an egg coming out of a hen, but it still was included in the gezerah because they made a gezerah on what's called prihanoshir, a fruit that fell off. Now, that's all-encompassing for all fruits that come off. So although it's only really applicable for the case of a tree, because we don't want you to be over on that deraisa, but included, we said, on all peiros hanoshir, and therefore that would include a different pri, which is the egg that's noshir from its source, which is the hen. So although there's no application of that concern of coming to rip off from a tree to do kaitzer, but it was included in the gzeir drabanan of peiros hanoshir, and that's why it's asr. So it's not gzeir legzeira, it was originally included in that original gzeira, and that's the reason for Beis Hillel, why they say that the Beis Shanolda, although we're talking about a tarnagoilis that's omedis la'achilas, so there's no problem of mukta, but there was this gezerah, a prihanoshir, which makes it asam drabanan, and that's what we still say that the egg is going to be asam.